Welcome to the Roma Press Podcast with Jun Solano and Andy Mattioli.
All right, welcome back everyone to another Roma Press Podcast. We hope you are doing well. Before we get into all of the transfer news, because as you would expect, this is going to be a primarily transfer related things. It is absolutely heating up right now, the market of Roma. I want to say thank you and welcome to our three newest patrons over at Patreon: Antonio Cucciniello, Christopher Fung, and Lucas Borgli. Thank you, all of you, for your support. If you would like to join, get early access to the podcast, join the group chat, which I always say it is chaotic, and it is now. The second there is even the slightest whiff of a transfer rumor, no matter the credibility level, there is the strongest of opinions, knowing full well that the level of familiarity with said player may not be relatively high, and I'm probably being generous with even that sort of description. But if you would like to join and opine as to how crap, because we know that everybody has been keenly watching the Swedish top flight.
Everybody's been following the Swedish league. Everybody's a fan of
everybody Durgardens. Is fully aware with Mr. Dahl. They know everything about his game. So, of course, opinions immediately were strong. And if you would like to weigh in on your opinion, patreon.com/RomaPress, @IsRomaPress for the YouTube version of the podcast or the video version of the podcast. Like, subscribe down below. We would greatly, greatly, greatly appreciate it. So literally, as I am talking right now, the agent of one Artem Dovbyk, Andy, is
who looks like a bodybuilder. I must say that's one impressive agent that he's got. It's
okay, yeah.
Physically imposing would be an understatement.
Yeah, so there are multiple people with that name, and I know when you look for his name, the first thing you see is some guy who may or may not have known one Jans Bangsbol in passing. When you Google search his agent's name, that I believe that is the first photo that pops up. But I don't believe, unless I compare his photo on WhatsApp to the one that appeared on Google, this guy either got off of the gear or underwent some heavy plastic surgery. So I don't think that was him. But if you look for a guy with a slicked back haircut, that looks like, I can't describe it any other way. And I said this to another person in the media, Roma media group chat. He looks like a vampire with the hair. It's just slick. Pat Riley
looked cool as hell, man. Pat Riley was
Miami, Los Angeles.
Yeah, he had the goods, man.
Yeah, I cannot say for sure, but you are at a disadvantage when you live in Kiev trying to pull that off. Miami, it can happen really without any problem. Kiev, it's a bit more difficult. But
he's in Rome right now, no? So he's living the good life.
Just to get
the show back on track, John. This is me.
I mention agents all the time, and I can understand it's one of those things that maybe roll your eyes at, or maybe some people roll their eyes at. But whether you agree with it or not, fortunately or unfortunately, these individuals, I say guys, I should also say women as well, they play, and again, unfortunately or unfortunately, depending on how you view the situation, they play a large role in this thing, and they love. Because they're not out on the pitch. So the way they can impose themselves and the way they can gain notoriety is through the media, which is why you will often see them talking, which is why you will also see them divulging things that are frankly kind of mind-blowing. Now, they are impressive in their audacity to cut to the truth and frankly cut out any of the fluff. But if we want to be frank here, we all know when it comes to things said by clubs, players, agents, anything said publicly, you always had to take with a grain of salt. I couldn't care less what Roma says in public when they're saying another thing to me privately that they want to be off the record. It doesn't matter what is said publicly. So this thing for Dovbyk has been, I mean, you want to talk about a curious sort of negotiation, man. How about we go from the guy being very close to Atletico Madrid and then his agent dropping a bomb on a Ukrainian outlet, basically saying Atletico Madrid, there was no serious project there. There was nothing in terms of finances. Their offer was far lower than others. And we all know at that point he is referring to Roma, because it is now down to Roma. There is one, as I often like to say, right now there is only one dance partner on the floor. And Girona, they want to sell this guy, coming off his best season, their top scorer in La Liga, if I'm not mistaken. I think he had 24.
And yes. Right behind him, it's Alex Sorloth, who also has been linked to Roma.
Yes. So I can understand the money to monetize. It is, I'm still trying to just grasp the fact that Roma are closing in on potentially acquiring the leading scorer in La Liga. A guy willing to go from Champions League football to Europa League football with Roma. Obviously, he would be getting a payday that, Girona, they are just not going to be able to equalize. Roma, from a personal finances point of view, they're going to be able to give this guy a higher contract, a better contract, higher wages, so on and so forth. I haven't had the time. Our data and analytics staff is off again on holiday. When was the last time Roma, if ever, acquired the top scorer from the previous season? Because there were only two names that come to my mind, and you could probably think of them.
Mm-hmm.
One of whom was an Argentine some years ago. All I can say is wow, mm-hmm. because the fact that forget if it happens or not, just put that aside. The fact that this is even being discussed, and by the way, if Oleksiy, I like how many Eastern Europeans do that, by the way, when it sounds like
Oleksiy.
Oleksiy. I love that. We just have to make it out.
Oleksiy.
I mean, by the way, this guy is telling everybody everything. It's amazing to me. I mean, for him to go out and say, yeah, we had the negotiations with Atletico Madrid, but not a serious project there. Now, part of me thinks that might have been lost slightly in translation. Slightly, because he gave that interview to a Ukrainian outlet. And I have a very difficult time believing he would have been so harsh. But anyway, I am just stunned by the fact that this is even feasible. But I'm even on top of that, this thing is close. This is very, right. Very, very close.
And what is more stunning, John, I think, is this the news of Roma's interest in him. I think they broke out on Tuesday evening.
Yes.
There was the first news was I think it was Di Marzio who dropped it. Was that Roma may be monitoring the situation with regards to Atletico Madrid's negotiations with Dovbyk. There were some differences during their talks. I think it was Dovbyk's agent sat down with Atletico Madrid to finalize a deal, and then some differences emerged which prevented yes. them from continuing. That same evening, Di Marzio hints at Roma potentially monitoring. What is funny is because I reported it immediately, like a few hours later, a second report by Sky Sport was, no, Roma's interest was just an inquiry. The costs yeah. are too prohibitive. That's what they always say, right? I think it reminded me a bit of the Paulo Dybala. Remember when the first things started to emerge about Roma being interested in Paulo Dybala? Also was the storyline was Roma are monitoring the situation with Paulo Dybala and Inter. The costs are a bit too prohibitive, are a bit too
And that's
elevated.
Roma telling people to say that, by the way. Just to put, yeah, everybody just, knows that, but I wanted to underline.
Roma always downplay these things. They always have to, because otherwise, you know, you risk exposing yourself too quickly, right? In this case, Roma wait a whole 24 hours, The next piece of news is, no, Roma are meeting with Dovbyk's agents. There is a meeting right now. There is stuff happening behind the scenes. And then 24 hours later, there is their famous interview. Atletico Madrid are not a serious project. 24 more hours go by. Roma have an agreement with the player. And the club are preparing an offer for Girona. Now we're here. We're recording this on Sunday evening. The latest news is that Roma have more or less a package of 35 million, including add-ons, ready to go to be discussed with Girona this week. I assume they will meet first thing this upcoming week. So probably by the time the people listen to this episode, the meeting will already be on, if not over. And yeah, you immediately get the idea that Roma's strategy for signing such players, and that's what, John, we were talking about last time, is the patience, right? The patience is not jumping from to El Nesyri, right? We got El Nesyri, we got that whole situation with him. Roma seemed to be on the verge. That was the word that was being used. In truth, Roma, as soon as they realized what kind of money that guy wanted, the kind of money that Fenerbahce were willing to offer, they backed out. Obviously, you were not going to continue there. And what did they do? They waited. They watched this situation with Atletico Madrid evolve. They thought, you know what? Perhaps it would be better to go for this player who has a 40 million euro release clause, is the top goal scorer of La Liga of last season. Talks between him and Atletico are breaking down, but his salary demands are completely within reach because the figures that we're seeing is about 3.5 million euros. So,
yes.
And again, I want to highlight the fact, because people are like, where do Roma get all the money? It's not about the players that Roma have sold. It's about the space that Roma have created in terms of annual costs. They freed up so much money. Think about also this thing with Riccardo Calafiori going to Arsenal. You're about to get 10 million euros right there and there. You know, think about the money that Leonardo Spinazzola was sucking off of you. Think about the money.
Lukaku was your most expensive player last season.
Yeah.
He was alone for one season.
Think about Renato Sanchez, Rui Patricio, Rasmus Christensen, Sardar Azmoun.
No, I'd rather not think about Renato Sanchez, like most people.
But that's the answer right there. So Roma, they had to consider that. They have to consider that the market is based on opportunities. Dovbyk is the prime example of an opportunity that shows up at the right place at the right time.
And that is the thing that I just want to underscore, because I said this in passing, kind of as a half-hearted joke to somebody about Ghisolfi. I said at least physically, he has such an unassuming appearance, almost identical to that of Massara. And I'm very tempted to say he operates in such...
He does have very Massara energy, even in photos.
Yes.
He's just walking around the friendly or the training grounds. Yes. Yesterday, Roma were playing with Toulouse. He was just on the phone, just smiling into the camera, just faintly, like Massara did. Yeah.
Yeah. So Massara, and I say that, it's like one of those nicknames that Donald Trump gave to somebody one time. I can't do an impression, but he called somebody was low energy. Like, that's where, when you look, I will never forget the first time I saw Ricky Massara in a press conference. The guy just sat there quietly as if he was being punished by James Palotta and gone to have a timeout and forced to sit there. The guy didn't move. He was a corpse. Ghisolfi has the, as you said, the exact same energy and just an unassuming. He's not very animated.
Does that translate into what goes into the market? Because that's the thing, right?
He's patient, though. He doesn't leak.
Nothing comes out. Yeah.
Nothing. The guy,
whatever comes out with Dovbyk, and it's, I mean, this thing with Dovbyk has been coming up I've been actually amazed by the fact that there's news every day, which is not often the case, right? You have like 2-3 days, especially on weekends. Everybody's sleeping on weekends. You got agents sleeping in. This guy has been leaking to everybody for the past 48 hours with such intensity.
Yeah, I mean, if you want a secret kept, there are certain agents. I mean, they would sell the deepest, darkest secrets of their own mothers. If it meant they were able to see their name on the top of a headline, it is quite curious, because that's something you have to keep in mind. These guys are like they're almost like the anti-hero of the transfer market, but they play such a huge role. I cannot underscore that enough. That's why a lot of the time, I won't even waste my time trying to talk to clubs about certain things, because they're just going to give you a half truth or the sort of politically correct answer that they want out there. They're not, very rarely are they going to give you. Now, they might say it's off the record, so you can print the information, but you can't say it's coming directly from the club. So when you get it, I know that it is perhaps a bit unprofessional, but man, I love when you get a guy like this. I mean, he just, to anybody. I mean, Marco Violi could probably get a quote from this guy if he tried.
Right. But what's better is, because a lot of the time also you get the talkers, but the talkers who divulge information depending on who they're talking to, right? So you get Di Marzio, who gets one piece of news, and then you get Pedulla, who gets another piece of news, and then you get this other guy who gets another piece of news, and everybody's getting a different version with other details. In this case, the Zdoff big deal has been clear as day. We know exactly where Roma stand. We know exactly where the player stands. Dovbik has an agreement with Roma. He wants Roma. He's rejected Atletico. He will not consider any further offers with Atletico. That's over. So this is now up to the two clubs to come to an agreement. And at the end of the day, if there is no interference from any other team and Girona want to sell, and the player hasn't even featured for a single minute in their latest friendly. Yes. I mean, you put all those things together and you have to see that at the end of the day, Roma have to come out of this with a deal in their hands, especially because of, obviously, we're less than a month away from playing. We're 3 weeks from the season starting. So it's about time to have a starting striker ahead of next season. And Dovbik is the answer. You're getting the top goal scorer of La Liga. People are like, why? Well, how can he be so cheap if he's the top goal scorer of La Liga? Well, you set a release clause, which is what Roma are aiming to pay. They may not try to fulfill it. They're trying to just get to it with some bonuses. But that release clause is set well in advance. So Girona set that release clause when they first got him, not when he was scoring bangers left and right. So what you're getting is a player that, yes, as people point out, he's played in minor leagues before his move to La Liga. In La Liga, this is his first major season where he gets this amount of spotlight on him. You did not see him do well at the Euros, sure, but what you're getting is a player who clearly is hungry for more, a player who wants to continue learning, growing. He's 27 years old for a striker. That's about the prime of when he's about to hit his prime. So this is the kind of signing you want to see after weeks of speculations, after weeks of rumors, of uncertainty, of will we have to give Tammy Abraham a second chance? Will we have to do this? Will we have to do that? And Roma, again, they're just reiterating with this deal the concept of patience, the importance of it, because what's the point of going out of your way and spending huge box of money on En-Nesyri when you're not convinced? And when you may think that in the back of your head, there's someone else right around the corner that may be free if the stars align in your favor, right? So that's what happens with Dovbik. Obviously, Roma, this stuff, again, people think that an agent. No, it's an intermediary brings this to Roma's attention. Roma look at it. They think, okay, this is good. They green light it. Okay, then there is they meet with the agents. Then the agents mediate between the clubs and so on. It's a whole process. It takes time. That's what we fail to understand in this day and age where everything is available at the tips of our fingers, as we expect updates every 20 minutes. I think Dovbik's agent has done a brilliant job of fulfilling that need, because that's exactly what's been the case. We've been getting these updates. These are minor updates, but more or less we know exactly where Roma stand. Roma are about to get their new striker for next season.
Yeah, well, this is what happens when millennials, and even when we start to see it, like the Gen Z, they start entering into the realm of the upper, more important echelons of football. So now the people that grew up with the internet, you have guys like this who, knowing full well our attention span is that of a vine, so 5 seconds, he is, as you said, fulfilling that need. I want to go something very quickly about Dovbik, though, before we get to Sule, who is going to be landing tomorrow to complete his move, finally. You want to talk about another agent who talks a lot, bidding farewell, at least for the foreseeable future, to his agent. I spoke to him more than probably my own wife over the previous couple of weeks, so when you see me filming in a new place, you will know the divorce has been finalized. But with Dovbik, I have to say, I do watch a lot of La Liga. I did see several of his matches. A guy I like, a modern, you want to talk about the modern attacker. If you watch his goals, I'm sure there's multiple compilations available on YouTube. If you just go watch the goals that he scored, and penalties, fantastic in the year. I think he had, of his 24, I believe 7 or 8 were with his head. Very, very, very dynamic kind of guy. Left-footed, I like that. I'm curious, though, as you said, we are not speaking of a record or a history of him that is very extensive at in the big leagues of European football. Regardless of how much or how little you think of the guy, that whether you think he's the best, whether you think he's just okay, whether you don't like him, that has to be something that at least mildly worries us. Because when I think of this deal, I just think to myself, man, the fact that this is even feasible or possible for Roma is still like it's like Fanta. It still seems like this is not real, because you would think, all things being equal, Premier League side just comes in tomorrow and says, oh, what's his name? Dovbik? Oh, it's only 40? Oh, here you go. 40. Here, how do you want it? How many hundred? Tell us how to split the bills for you. What is your preference? Like, they could do that tomorrow. All 20 of the clubs in the Premier League can do that tomorrow. But the fact that they haven't, the fact that Roma are right there. If I'm going based off this guy, who's, if I wanted him to give to me, like,
but if you went to Atletico Madrid, and if you look at Atletico Madrid's history in finding the right strikers, man, that's a club that knows how to find the right strikers. Because you look at what they've been doing for the past 20 years, the kind of players that went through that club from Diego Costa to Cavani to Forlan, pretty incredible, number of players up there. Leading the line,
getting them to work there where they don't work anywhere else, by the way.
Sure, exactly. That's if this signing were to have happened with him in Atletico Madrid, you'd have been looking at it like, of course, yeah, of course he goes to Atletico Madrid. I don't think, nowadays I don't think that really matters who looks at who, because as we know, it's always teams. Most of the teams grow lazy. I think the Premier League, there is a complete inability to look at players outside of England. It seems like in the Premier League, if you're outside those top 8 teams, you are forced to look at the other talents, because the top 8 teams snatch every big talent in and around Europe. So I don't think that the lack of interest from the Premier League is telling of something. I think this is a situation where Roma can only benefit from this. A player like Dovbik can only benefit from Roma. I think this is the type of player that reminds De Rossi of Edin Dzeko, with whom he obviously good friends with and teammates for such a long time. There are similarities there. I think that's the kind of profile that De Rossi would like, especially after Lukaku's exit, because I think Dovbyk is completely different to what someone like Lukaku had to offer last season. Obviously, yes. Different than Tammy Abraham has been in these past few months. And Tammy Abraham, now that's another player that's stuck in time and that's stuck in this endless cycle of rumors of he's staying, he's leaving. The matter of the situation is that if there are so many rumors about you, it means that your position at the club is compromised. Now, that's what I wanted to bring up, John, is this thing with Daniele De Rossi, who yesterday, obviously, Roma play against Toulouse. They lose against Toulouse. They lose 1-0, first defeat in the friendly. Daniele De Rossi, for the first time, gives an interview for the club's channels, and he starts, he's basically being very open. Also, I mean, I was surprised at how open some of the questions were, at how satisfied he is at what he expected from this preseason, at what he expected from the transfer market compared to what he's gotten, what he's seen from the players, what he's seen from the market. So I thought, there was also a question exactly about Tammy Abraham's future, where he says he's an important player. Again, that's diplomatic lingo.
Yeah, what's he going to say?
Always. It's same thing applies for Bove. He's an important player, and then he mentions important players want more playing time, and they complain, and I have to accept it. So, in a way, I think Daniele De Rossi was very open about the situation with regards to someone like Tammy Abraham. You just don't know. You have to accept the fact that this is a guy coming off a terrible injury. In the little that he's played this year, he showed next to nothing. He provides very little guarantees for any team that will try to sign him. I mean, let's be fair, Tammy Abraham is not a big signing in 2024. Unfortunately, that's the case. He may have been a big signing when Roma got him from Chelsea, and there was this excitement of this young talent from the Premier League. He may have been a huge signing after his first year at Roma, where he scored, I think, 27 goals in total
across
all competitions. Great. But right now he's far from it. De Rossi knows it. The club know it. They need someone else. And then De Rossi, again, John, he states very openly this thing that we've been talking about, which is, I have to be patient. As a coach, I have to be patient. As a coach, I have to understand that the market is based on opportunity. As a coach, I have to understand that I'm not going to get 10 players all at once to come in. I would love that, but it's not going to happen. Why? Because this is a long-term project. And he even stated specifically, this is a 2-3 year project. We're just getting started. Yeah. So you cannot in at the end of July, you cannot be going mad that you don't have exactly the players you wanted at the end of last season.
Right.
Because that's how it operates. He said it. It's all about opportunity. And I have to be the first one in line to be patient about this.
Yeah, listen, it's not as if, and this is what the measuring stick has to be, obviously. If you look at the other clubs, and I think you mentioned this in the previous episode, I mean, look at Inter, look at Juve. It is not as if there are other clubs in Serie A setting a flame to the market. It is not as if somebody has gone out there and splashed. In fact, I would say the most high-profile move was done by a team that was just promoted from Serie B with Como. So I don't know how, if you look at the landscape, because here is my feeling on it. It is easy for everyone to get caught up in the market when you see, and it's not a fair comparison, but it's the human instinct when you see it happening, to go onto Twitter, to go onto social media, and you see Fabrizio Romano speaking about every single Premier League team every hour seemingly coming out with a new rumor or a negotiation or a new deal being done. That is just not the reality in Serie A. It might never be. Maybe they will come close, but it is never going to be. But I can understand how when you see all this social media discussion and then you see Romano tweeting out this club, that club, clubs that just promoted from the second tier in the UK, is signing big name players. You know, Dean Huijsen going to Bournemouth with Thiago Pinto. I can also
see going for 15 million plus bonuses. Remember what happened at the beginning, at the end of last season? Juve were like, no, we will not let him go unless someone offers 30 million. That was the figure, 30 million. They went down by half. Okay, because why? Because that's the reality of Italian football. Juve are also in a position where they need to sell assets. They need to make stuff happen in the outgoing transfers in order to then be able to turn their attention and get someone like Coop Miners. Okay, without Sule being sold, without Dean Huijsen being sold, Juve, a big, big club with a lot of trophies and Champions League qualification, which they didn't have last year. Now they do. Right. They can't make things happen without securing sales. Now that's the reality of the situation. Look at Inter, Scudetto winners. They signed two players, Zielinski on a free, yeah? And then the guy from Porto also on a free. Taremi comes in as a free agent.
Who's 39 years old at this point.
They secured Taremi a year ago. They secured Zielinski a year ago. They haven't done a single cash money signing this season as Scudetto champions. So the reality is completely different. And I think De Rossi was very telling in this sort of openness about the fact that in his first preseason as a coach, yes, you can have some ideas. Yes, you can trade ideas with the sporting director, but at the end of it, and you can prepare and you can have a network and you know, Gisolfi can have a whole list of players that they're looking at. You know, we're getting these links with Assignon from Rennes. We're getting these links with Pubil from Almeria. Roma still need the right back. They may also get a center back. They will get another winger. That's what De Rossi has been very also open about. He said that he wants to try and use Paulo Dybala only in the as a false nine, only in the case that Roma get wingers who know how to move with him, who know how to dialogue with him. That's how he said it. But it's all a matter of opportunity. At the end of the day, if something like this, like that's the best example is this Dovbyk thing. If Atletico Madrid and his agent don't have a falling out, Roma have to look for someone else. Roma only look at this Dovbyk situation because an intermediary comes to Roma and says, guys, listen, check out this situation because it's about to collapse, okay? This guy is about to become free. You're looking for a striker. They've got a striker. You can make this happen, right? And if that doesn't happen, then Roma have to just keep wondering and looking.
Yeah, this is another one of those deals that it is an opportunity. Kind of like the word project, I'm sure this is another word, opportunity, that some may be tired of hearing. But I don't know how else to say it because this thing with the market, it does change at the, you know, snap of a finger. Deal can be done and just all it takes is it. By the way, the reason this thing with that Atletico Madrid collapsed, I'm sure many would have assumed this anyway, but his agent, he wanted, he tried to change the contract last minute. He's going to try to deny that if it ever gets asked to him publicly, but that's what he did. He wanted an additional $500,000 added to the annual wages of Dovbyk, and they said no. They didn't like that he made this change at the last minute. They thought they had an agreement, which, by the way, when you have a guy divulging every single detail, that is absolutely the kind of behavior I would expect. I mean, that is shit housery of the highest level from an age.
Mind you, this is the stuff that we would complain about if it was happening to us, okay? Like, this is...
Oh, of course.
This is terrible. This is reprehensible. This is awful.
That's a fantastic point. I mean, if this guy was doing it with, like, Juve, we'd be laughing about it. If he was doing it with Lazio, I mean, this guy is a clown. He is a clown, okay? I love that he's telling to me every single detail. I love it. The world of football moves because of clowns like this. I love it. I will always love it. I will always appreciate him. When it is happening against you, though, or you are at least not the beneficiary of said clownery behavior, it is awful. And by the way, how many names could we go down? I mean, if I just open up my WhatsApp, some of the conversations, some of these, truly, if you think like you are ever stuck at any point in life and that, you know, maybe you are not smart enough to reach like the highest tiers of any profession. I mean, if you just go down the list of some of these gems, you want to talk about useful think about idiots.
But also another example, John. Yes, De Rossi again blew my mind that he openly he's asked about Mikau Tadze, the Georgian player who was at Metz. He had great Euros with the Georgia, scores 4 goals, I think 1 assist or something. Gets a move to Olympique Lyon, but beforehand he's supposed to go to Monaco. Everything is said. Medicals are organized. Medicals are scheduled. Roma are also bidding for him.
Yes.
Guy does a 180 at the very last minute. Does not show up for his medical with Monaco. Chooses Lyon instead.
Yes.
De Rossi also admitted to having a conversation with him. So, and that's the thing. So, you don't even know. Like, we probably don't even know how many players De Rossi has already spoken to, like, you know, because now you get these things where like, oh, Dovbyk has spoken to De Rossi. De Rossi probably has spoken to like 10 other players. Okay. Right,
correct. Yes.
Like this stuff happens all the time. We just don't know it's about normal. It's normal. Yes. It happens. But that just shows you how everything is unpredictable. We mentioned it on the last episode. Malcolm in the air, the plane changes direction. I mean, that's the kind of, so you cannot expect these things to go as they should. You can't expect them to have the linear trajectory because they don't. They depend. The transfer market thrives on guys like Dovbyk's agent. The transfer market thrives on these clubs who find agreements, then they tear them apart, then they change the requested price tag, then the teams change, withdraw offers, you know, all kinds of things happen. But that's why it's so important for someone like De Rossi at his first experience as a coach to say, guys, I'm not going to hold any grudges. I'm trying to stay open. I'm trying to stay patient because I know that this is what we're trying to achieve is long-term. We're going to have a strong team for next season, but we're not going to be Scudetto champions. We're just going to have a strong team because the goal is to grow and that takes time. So you cannot hope in your first transfer window to solve all your problems because you won't. Like last season, remember Thiago Pinto gets rid of so much dead weight before the end of June. That takes so much energy out of Roma, out of the organization. Roma focused so much energy on that then the incoming transfers are just an afterthought, which means you cannot hope to solve everything because Roma are a team that have done some things right and many things wrong over the last few years. If you haven't qualified in 6 years for the Champions League, there is a reason for that. And you cannot solve that reason just like that at the snap of a finger within a span of two months of the transfer window being open.
Right. Yeah, you are not going to solve it. But as you said, and I want to underscore this because I saw many of the people, and I don't know why they show up. Thank you to Elon Musk for having to he changed something in these algorithms on social media to now where just seemingly every time I log in, I get some sycophant of Jose Mourinho talking about, oh my gosh, look at everything Fenerbahce has done.
I get mentioned. I muted them, but I do get mentioned. So sometimes I make the mistake of looking through the comments on Roma Press, yeah. And I do get have my username mentioned.
There's like two or the three same guys. I mean, we have political figures being nearly assassinated. We have bombs being dropped. And the first thing on my timeline is some Jose Mourinho stand talking about why Fenerbahce is able to do things in the market more in like 2 months.
No, worse yet, that Roma are now willing to spend money when Mourinho is gone, which is...
That is exactly where I was going. I know I say this every time, but it is the football manager or the FIFA video game ification of people's minds. They think that is how the market is ran. They think that is how negotiation is ran. No. Do you know, as you said, do you know why Roma has all of this money? Because Spinazzola. You have Azmoun coming off. You have Renato Sanchez coming off. You have your single most expensive player from last season was Romelu Lukaku, a guy you had on loan. On loan. You didn't pay a fee for him. You didn't. All you had to do were pay some of his wages. Yeah. Some. And by the way,
how much did he cost? Still... Because I think Spinazzola cost like 11 million a year. I think that he was one of the most expensive ones.
Yes.
I do know that also Kumbula is weighing a ton.
You said the magic word.
Tammy Abraham is weighing also massively. So those are...
I take it back. You were right. Okay, hold on. I pulled it back up.
So there you go.
It was Tammy Abraham. Okay, so here. Tammy Abraham, 14 million per season.
There you go.
Spinazzola, 11.
Yes.
11.7. Romelu Lukaku was just under 10. Okay.
Incredible. Incredible because one is a player on loan. Another player is gone as a free agent. Tammy Abraham has been useless for over a year now. So that's all money down the drain, basically.
Rui Patricio, he was the sixth most expensive.
You got Renato Sanchez, Rui Patricio, Sardar Azmoun. I mean, basically you put it all together. That's how you can afford Matias Sule. That's how you can afford Dovbik. If Roma managed to sell Tammy Abraham, if Roma managed to get rid of Rick Karsdorp, if Roma managed to get rid of Chris Smalling, make some calculations. Now that's a whole team right there that you can try and renew and put a breath of fresh air into it.
Yeah. Yeah, and by the way, that is also. I mean, I looked through some of these names and. Take your antidepressants before doing so. I mean, Kumbula is number last season was number four, 9.4 million.
Insane. Insane.
Shomurodov is 6.7.
That's crazy.
Shomurodov essentially costs the exact same per season as Pellegrini. He costs
and I
more
know
than
that people will jump on that. People will jump on that, but I'm just saying... Keep it a perspective. One is a starter. You like him or not. Pellegrini is a starter. Pellegrini is your captain. Pellegrini still gets double digits. Shomurodov is a guy who hasn't played for you in over a year and a half. Okay.
Hold on. Has he said... How many goals did he score?
He's at the Olympics. Shomurodov played for Spezia. Then played for Cagliari. Now he's at the Olympics for Uzbekistan. And we don't know what's going to happen. But that's the thing is, even these guys whom you may have forgotten about, you know, or someone like Kumbula, you know, a kid who hasn't, who's just come off a terrible injury, played terribly for Sassuolo. So,
even starting at the end.
He made two crucial mistakes that basically relegated them. he did his job. But... guys whom you don't even consider, you know, you don't even think of them when you think of Roma, and yet they prevent you from getting deals done because that's the reality of the situation. If you don't move Rick Karsdorp, you cannot bring in someone else. That's the reality of the situation. If you don't move Chris Smalling, forget about an additional center back. Chris Smalling is getting 3.5 million euros a season. So that's the reality of the situation, not only for Roma, for everybody else. I'm glad that De Rossi, who again in his first major preseason as a coach, you know, very involved in these discussions and talks, yes, for players, is able to keep a distance from it and to have this healthy dose of balance in judgment, because obviously it's not easy. It's not easy when you have an idea of what you want to achieve, and the transfer market is, again, limiting because it's a matter of, yes, you guessed it, opportunities.
Yes. All right. Well, a few weeks away from the season, we will probably begin to go to 2 episodes per week sometime within the next week or two. But we are getting there. Summer is slowly, the market is slowly coming to a close. But it's hard to believe that the season is just upon us. We will do, obviously, as we get closer, we will do the full season preview. But very exciting stuff, very exciting time. Sule coming tomorrow. But we will talk about on the next episode how we envision De Rossi integrating him into the team. But it is starting finally to pick up. So maybe this will teach all of those, many of you, that lesson on the 1st of July, right when they do the opening gong and you begin to go hysterical that no deal has been announced. We are essentially into August at this point. And just now is the market starting to gain any sort of traction. The more we say it, it doesn't matter though. Nobody ever listens. But we will leave it there until next time. Ciao.